Yo, what is up? It's your host with the most, Nacho Stone. Yo, what is up? I am back. Anyways, so today we're talking about They Walk Among Us, a new episode. So, before we start this podcast, I just wanted to have a disclaimer. We're not getting into any religious things or anything like that. This is just how the Bible depicts them, and this is the only information I have gotten from them. So this is not any religious thing. I don't want to get striked for any community thing. This is just how the Bible depicts them. I'm going to butcher all these words, so bear with me. All right, here we go. This is They Walk Among Us. Angels. The real angels. All right, let's get into it. Angels have been depicted by humans as the most blissful beings that could have existed. Of an exquisite divinity whistled while resembling human-like characteristics. But how accurate are these depictions of the accurate appearances of angels as described in the Bible? Take the example of Cupid, which humanity have depicted as an adorable infant with small wings, while the truth is that the type of angel defined in the Bible as Cerberus has quite a more ugly appearance. The Bible says that they have several kinds of angels who serve God. Jewish philosopher Maimonides, who lived in the 12th century, assigned these beings a position in the hierarchy of heaven based on significant wood irises in the descriptions of four beings for the hierarchy have been explained in the detail in scriptures and the historical circumstances around the conception. I'm very drunk, by the way. I'm gonna butcher these words a lot. Okay, the next one is Seraphim. I'm butchering these names a lot. The seraphim are celestial beings that surround God's throne that sing holy, holy, holy in unison when God approaches. According to the prophet Isaiah, they have six wings, using two of them for flight and the other four for covering its head to its feet. Seraphim have the second highest position in the Maimonides hierarchy of angels. From the name, one can infer the Seraphim's historical influence. Seraphim has a translation of the Hebrew word seraph, so I'm gonna call him Seraph from now on, which is in English means to blaze. Nice. Further research reveals seraph in Hebrew means venomous desert snake. The cobra was referred to as the blazing one in ancient Egypt. Its emblem, also known as Urus, was frequently affixed to the pharaoh's headdress. Historians speculate that the authors of the Old Testament derived seraph's wings and flames from Egyptian imagery and associated it with a cobra. See? So they got some things from some other cultures. But we're not going to get into that. All right, next. Malachim. The word angel is derived from the Greek word angelios, which is in itself derived from the Hebrew word malachim, messenger. The malachim are God messengers that have the most resemblance to modern humanity. They are also the third rank among the four. So they're like the second best, I think. They serve God in the Old Testament just like Michael and the archangels who guard heaven, or the death angel in the Passover account. They frequently serve the messenger in the New Testament as Gabriel did. When he informed Mary of her virgin conception, when asked to imagine an angel, many people immediately conjure up these referred to beings. The Bible makes no mention of Malachim having wings, despite the fact that they resemble humans in appearance. In the middle of the 3rd century, the earliest known Christian representative of the angel lacked wings. It wasn't until the later half of the 4th century that the artist began depicting angels as having wings, while painters are aware that the scriptures did not refer to them as having wings. You know, they just drew them on there just because, you know, what the fuck. Cherubim. The cherubim subsequently reduces the cherub. It is lowest in the rank among the 4 of these creatures, which in Bible depicts as all human hybrid, which is put in charge of defending the Garden of Eden from humans. So defending the Garden of Eden from humans. So that must mean that the Garden of Eden is acceptable to humans. That's what I'm getting from it. But anyways, we're not going to dive into that. According to the prophet Ezekiel's vision, they had 4 faces, those of a lion, an ox, an eagle, and a human. They stand upright, have 4 wings, and have feet that glisten like polished brass. From body, it covers one set of its wings, while the other pair is utilized in flight. So what I got from all these is that the robes that we see them wear in, like, you know, depictions of them, it's just wings, but they just like made them like look like robes, you know, which I think is pretty cool. This description is a long cry from how we know pictures of cherub. While academics trace its current incarnation from a Roman and a Greek god like Cupid, they place a biblical detail attributes to the culture inceptions with ancient Babylonian, Syrian, and Egypt. The cherub's job is guard sacred sites, and their mixed appearance is compelled from of the Babylonian Lammas, Egyptian Sphinx, and Hattiti's Griffin. See, I think that's pretty cool that it's in charge of it. It takes from the Egyptian, you know, and he and like, you know, from that, it takes from every religion, because I feel like it's kind of the same. Don't flag me for this. I'm just saying, that's my opinion. It's not the truth, just my opinion. Please don't flag me for this. Okay. Next one, Orphanim. The Orphanim, also known as the wheels, are possibly the strangest creatures in Bible. The Bible accounts from the Ezekiel's portrayal from the entities composed as interconnecting golden wheels with many eyes on the outside of each wheel. They travel by floating through the air. They are in charge of protecting God's throne, since they are at the top of the Maimonides hierarchy. Okay, I'm no longer going to say Maimonides because I feel like I'm butchering that word too much. So I'm going to say they are in charge of protecting the throne, since they are the top of the angels' hierarchy. There we go. That was better. The Orphanim's perception historical genesis is unknown. Former NASA employees Josefi F. Bermrich hypothesized that Ezekiel's vision of the wheels of other angels have accurately been UFO sightings, however characterized him as a conspiracy theorist. Otherwise, writers asserted the portrayal's vision was brought on by psychedelic drugs that were consumed. Additionally, by academics have suggesting that the pictures were only metaphors of God's enigma. It fascinates to step back and consider how these beings are conceptually from a pure sectoral perspective. They have collectively forgotten their reinterpretation of angels and have shaped them by century of culture, geographic, and history. So it's really interesting. It's really interesting about these angels because I'm not trying to go into any religious or any like, you know, thing like that. But what I do want to do is talk about these paranormal and spiritualistic like you know, entities, because I can't say that, because I don't like to call them creatures, because they're literally entities, and which is really, it's just fascinating, because to me, those creatures that are depicted as having the head of a lion, I forgot what it was, but a head of a lion and something human giraffe thing, that would be pretty scary. And having a circle with just eyes around it with four wings, that's terrifying. And I've go look up real images of angels. They will terrify you, because I looked them up, I was scared. It turns out Michael, Gabriel, and all of them that guard the gates of heaven, yeah, they're nothing compared to these angels, is what I got from all of these. I was like, one guards the Garden of Eden? Are you fucking kidding? The other one guards the throne of God. And the other one sings, holy, 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 that is powerful celestial shit. Yeah. These fuckers, they are OP. Power level OP. And I just think that's fucking cool, because it moves on to less of the religious side and more onto the paranormal and celestial powers that they have. And I haven't even delved deep into that. And I think we should save that for part two. And I think we're going to do a part two to this. So I'm your host, Nacho Stone. Tune in for part two. I'm out.